In your Bible, please, Luke's Gospel, the 24th chapter. While you're turning there, I will remind you that the single most significant word in all of the scriptures is the word grace. That word encapsulates the character and conduct of Almighty God. The single most significant statement in all of the scriptures is the statement, in Christ Jesus. Therein is revealed all that we are and all that we will ever be. The single most amazing statement in all of the scriptures is that statement, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Incomprehensible. Almighty God living in us and through us to his eternal praise. This morning, we arrive at the single most significant passage in all of the scriptures. Luke chapter 24, beginning in just a moment at verse 13 through verse 53. For therein is revealed the purpose of all of the scriptures. The purpose is to reveal Christ and to provoke faith in him. And so we arrive on this, the celebration of our Lord's resurrection, in the passage most significant, for it allows us to understand the purpose for which God has given to us, his holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible word. Verse 13. Behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things which had taken place. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking, looking sad? Two are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They're discussing what they have experienced and others as well. And what they had experienced has caused them to be despondent. They're downcast. Jesus comes along beside them in their need. One of them named Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" They said unto him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be sentenced to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. And indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened." As they walk, discussing the things that have taken place, they're downcast, they're despondent. They are disastrously disappointed. They had hoped, we had hoped, that Jesus the Nazarene, would have redeemed Israel. But it's the third day. They're delusioned. They knew what he had declared. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. And they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. They're defeated. They're disheartened. And he said to them, "O foolish men and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Messiah, the Anointed, the Christ, to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" Foolish of heart, slow to comprehend what the prophets have spoken. It was necessary, Peter will say on the day of Pentecost. "You have taken with your wicked hands and crucified this Jesus of Nazareth. But it was in accordance with the determined counsel, the predetermined purpose and plan of Almighty God." This did not happen by accident. It was planned. God Father, God Son, God Holy Spirit, before the foundation of the world, put in place the plan of redemption. What you are experiencing is what the prophets proclaimed, what was predetermined in the Godhead before the foundation of the world, and is now being realized in your midst. Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer and then to enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses, the Pentateuch, and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Sermon along the road, a 7-mile journey. Where the living word, the word became flesh and dwell among us. Opened the written word and explained, beginning at Moses and the prophets, how all things concerned him. I've said this on more than one occasion. This sermon, and one that will shortly follow, are the two greatest sermons that were ever preached. The one who is the Word, who is God, opened up his Word and showed how the Word was all about him. Come over to John chapter 5. It's fairly early in our Lord's earthly ministry. And as has been the case, he's been challenged as to what authority he has to do and to say the things that he is doing. Look at verse 37. And the Father who sent me, he has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he has sent. The Father testifies of me. You are not receiving that testimony. You are not believing. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. The Bible is not a book of principles to try to live our lives by. The Bible is the personal, perfect, progressive revelation of the one who is life, Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Any ministry that opens the Bible and teaches its precepts, its principles, without focusing the attention for which the scriptures were given to exalt the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ is failing to teach the Bible. Many people go to church and they take their Bibles. And the pulpit has a man, some cases women, opening the Bible and saying, thus saith the Lord. The problem with that is that if Christ Jesus is not being exalted by the person and work of the Holy Spirit in keeping with the truth revealed in the scriptures, the Bible's not being taught. It is being perverted. Otherwise, we might as well have the Book of Mormon. We might as well have the Quran. But we have the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God that reveals the Word become flesh. For what purpose? That we might have life in and through Him. It's all about him, beginning at Moses, the prophets. He explained, opened up the scriptures, how they reveal him. I do not receive glory from men, Jesus said, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you've set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. The day of Pentecost, I've mentioned, Acts chapter 2. Verse 22, Peter's preaching. The Spirit of God has been poured out. There is wonder, amazement, confusion about what is taking place. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles, wonders, and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man, delivered over by the determined counsel, the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to the cross by the hands of godless men and have put to death. But God raised him up again, having loosed the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says of him, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make full of gladness with your presence. Make me full of gladness with your presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried. His tomb is with us today. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, that's the Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel 7:12, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, the anointed, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, the region of departed spirits, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus, God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. What you're experiencing is exactly in keeping with the master plan of Messiah, the plan formulated before the foundation of the world. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit, for what purpose? To bring men to saving faith. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the household of Israel know for certain that God has made both Lord and anointed Christ, Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Chapter 3 of Acts. Peter's next preaching, verse 18. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent, change, and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that the times of refreshment may come from the presence of the Lord. Remember, repentance is not an act in and of itself. It is in that act of turning to God in faith that we turn from our sins, and that he may send Jesus, the Christ, appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from the brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you. And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And likewise, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel the first and his successors onward also announced this day. It is you who are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed, the Christ, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Genesis chapter 12. For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. Come over to the 8th chapter of Acts. Our Lord opening the scriptures to them, showing that all things in Moses and in the prophets were concerning him. Verse 25, Acts 8. So when they, that's Peter, John, and Philip, solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel, the good news, to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he got up and went there as the Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. Philip ran up, heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. It's Isaiah 53:7. The eunuch answered to Philip, asking him, do you understand? Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he preached Jesus to them. And as they went along the road, they came near some water. And the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Some early manuscripts do not have that verse. And he ordered the chariot to stop. There's the water. Anything hindering me from being baptized? They both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. And he went on his way rejoicing. Acts 17. You see, this one, Jesus, is the one that Moses and the prophets spoke of. Ministry of Paul. Acts 17, I'm reading verse 1. Now when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them for 3 Sabbaths, reasoning with them from the scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and to rise again from the dead, saying, "This Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you, is the Christ." Paul, coming near the end of his earthly ministry, he's on his way, in fact, in Rome, chapter 28 of Acts, reading from verse 23. And when he had set a day for Paul, they came to him as in his lodging, large numbers. And he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets until morning or till evening. Some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others they would not believe. And then, of course, he quotes from Isaiah that this is in accordance with God's plan, that darkness, unbelief, has now come upon Israel for the purpose of this message. Therefore, verse 28, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. It is, in fact, this scripture that God has breathed, that he has given, is the revelation of himself in his Son, redeeming his world unto himself. That is the whole purpose of the scriptures. Going back to Luke chapter 24. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table, he took bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" Little sidebar here. When I first was privileged to beginning to serve Christ in my first pastorate, I decided I was going to write a book. And I had the title for the book. Didn't have anything else, but I had the title. The title was "The Pew Versus the Couch." The Pew Versus the Couch. Why? Here were two on the way from Jerusalem, walking on the road to Emmaus. They're discouraged. They're downtrodden. They are defeated. They are disillusioned. Jesus comes along. He doesn't say, "Here, it's me." Doesn't show him his hands, his feet. In fact, he made it so that they did not recognize him until he opened to them the scriptures. That is the answer to any depression, any discouragement, any despondency, any loss of hope. It is in the Christ who is revealed in his word. The living Christ, the resurrected Christ. And they get up at very early hour, returned to Jerusalem, found gathered together the 11 and those who were with him, saying, "The Lord is really risen and has appeared to Simon." And they said, "Yeah, we know, but we know because saying the Lord is really risen and has appeared to Simon." They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of bread. And they were telling these things. Jesus himself stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands, my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see that a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Here's an amazing verse. While they still could not believe, still couldn't put it together. Why? Because the physical senses are limited. The feelings and emotions that are attached to this world do not totally satisfy. They can't. While they could still not believe, because of their joy and amazement, they were overwhelmed. "Have you anything to eat?" he says. They gave him a piece of broiled fish. I've said this before. It's the only time I'm going to be able to eat broiled fish in a glorified body. And he took it and ate it before them. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things which were written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Second greatest message ever shared, not recorded. 7 miles, open the scriptures, beginning at Moses and the prophets. Now in the upper room, again, in order to assure them of who he is, the living Christ in their midst. He's appealed to the physical. He's appealed to their intellect and to their emotion. See me, hear me, touch me. But he opened the scriptures, beginning at Moses. We had the privilege, as you remember, a year or two ago, to do a series of Christ in the Pentateuch, and Christ in the prophets, and Christ in the Psalms. Can you imagine what it must have been like to have Jesus go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15? "I will put enmity between your seed, Satan, and the woman's seed. And her seed will bruise your head. You will bruise his heel." In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. The seed, the Christ. Imagine what it would have been like to have the Lord open Isaiah chapter 53. Therein show how he was the servant sent, rejected, but he came as the substitute. He took upon himself our sins in order that we might receive his peace, his rest, his perfection. My God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22. to hear again from the lips of Jesus now in his glorified body those words that he cried on the cross. The sorrow of the Son being separated from the Father as our sin bearer. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the sons of God, the righteousness of God in him. He opened to them the scriptures, the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms. They must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the anointed, the Christ, the Messiah, would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. And that repentance, turning to God from sin, for forgiveness of sin, would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending you forth. I'm sending you forth with the promise of my Father. That's the Spirit of God upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high, until the indwelling person of my presence is with you in power by my Spirit to proclaim my death, my burial, and my resurrection. And he led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem without any prescriptions, without another appointment to the psychiatrist. They returned after worshiping great joy, and we're continuing in the temple praising God. Why? Because he opened to them the Word of God and showed how it has but one purpose: to reveal him, who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, what he has yet to do. And there was great rejoicing. He is risen. Father, thank you for these moments again this morning to have your Spirit allow us to open your Word and therein to see your Son, our Savior, alive, presently seated at your right hand, awaiting the time of all things being put together to your glory as he re-enters human experience. The risen, glorified, soon to rule in righteousness, King of kings and Lord of lords. To him be eternal praise. Amen.